Amen. Let's give them another hand for sharing their stories. So inspiring. And let's just get a word of prayer and just get straight into the message. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for bringing us out here this morning. We're so encouraged by you and how you work in our lives, Father. I pray that that our hearts were touched, that we were reminded of our own lives and how we battled through, that you helped us battle through the sin in our lives, the situations in our lives, to help us to become disciples. Father, we're so grateful to have this opportunity. And Father, we love you very much, Lord. And I just pray that be with this message, God, help it to really inspire and to help all of us, God, here who are single, married, or in the teens, and wherever we are, God, that we can be inspired to know you better. Father, we love you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at that in verse 35. But, so you guys are encouraged by the singles-led service? Amen. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the message and thinking about what can I talk about this morning, you know, in relation to the singles ministry. And I kind of took some time to think about the world and kind of where the world is. And being single in the world today is very difficult, right? And one of the things that came to mind was, you know what, I'm going to talk about trust today. Because as a single disciple, you need trust. Because of the way this world is today, and I thought, you know what, that's what God was leading me to. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But I remember having a conversation with someone recently, and one phrase that usually goes around a lot that they ended up mentioning was, I got trust issues. You guys ever heard that before? Oh, I just got trust issues. You know, that is a thing. And I kind of thought about, man, why do we have trust issues? You know, and I thought about some things about my childhood that actually helped me see that, you know what, maybe this is why I have trust issues, you know. So I'm going to go through a couple things that might be familiar to you. But the first one I can say here is one of the things that I was told growing up was that whenever I leave the house, my toys will come alive. You guys ever watch Toy Story? That's one of my favorite movies. But usually the toys usually come to life after all the human beings that are no longer on the scene, right? And then the minute the kid walks in, the toys just, you know, go back to normal. But I really, really believe, because I was told, that the toys were alive every time I left the room. And so there'll be times when I come back and forth trying to see, you know, trying to catch them, you know. And then you get older and you realize, all right, guys, that was not true this whole time, you know. And another thing that I believed was if you swallow the piece of gum, it will get stuck inside of you. And your body can't digest the actual gum that's in you, right? So I believe that for so long. I mean, I didn't start chewing gum seriously until I was about 14 years old. I believe that for a long time. And one of the biggest ones that honestly sometimes I probably still struggle with is that if you don't run upstairs after turning off the light, that a monster is going to get you. Anybody can relate to that? You know, you turn the light off and then just jet upstairs. And then you realize, you know, there's no monsters in your closet and under the bed and those different things. And, yeah. And then last but not least, where are my Hispanics at? Where are my Caribbeans at? You guys can probably relate to this. But one of the reasons why I probably have trust issues is because there's this blue can of sugar cookies that my grandma would have all the time at her house. And I get a little craving, I want a little sugar or something like that. And then I reach in there, open the can, and it's sewing products. So my grandma, she would use these blue can of sugar cookies, and she would put sewing products in there, and I would think they're cookies all the time, and they're not. How deceiving, right? So this is probably why we probably got trust issues, right? They probably started back when we were, you know, kids and those different things. But we're gonna talk about this topic. And when you think about the word trust, you know, I got to look it up. And what trust means literally is a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security that you have. Right? So it's a strong confidence, a boldness that I trust this no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and trust is actually a little different than faith, because trusting is what we do because of our faith. Does that make sense? So we trust because of our faith, so that's what makes the difference. So trust, at the end of the day, I really want to say that it's not a feeling, okay? Where I feel like I trust God, I feel like I should trust God, right? We can say that sometimes, right? Like, trust is affiliated with like a feeling of some sort. But biblically, we never see in the Bible about anyone feeling like they should trust God, or feeling like I should obey, or there's never a feeling attached to those things. It's because trust is a decision. And trust, you're making a decision to trust in the promises of God and what God says in the scriptures. And so this dawned on me a lot, because I was like, wow, like, because I'm always looking for a feeling to attach to my obedience, or a feeling to attach to my trust. But really, at the end of the day, trust is a decision that I have to make. You know, and what are some reasons why we should trust God? Number one, it says, He is worthy of our trust. Unlike men, He never lies. You know, Numbers 23, verse 19, you can write this scripture down, but it says, God is not human that He should not lie. Not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? That's a great passage, right? Kind of helps us to see, like, God, He's not a human being. He doesn't even change His mind. When He says something, that's it. It's a done deal, right? Number two, it says, He has the power to bring about what He promises and purposes. Isaiah 14, verse 24, it says, The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so will it be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. And the third reason why I think God is worthy to be trusted is that His plans are perfect, holy, and righteous. In Romans 8:28, it says, And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This passage is saying is that no matter what's going on in your life, outside of that, God is doing something for your good. At the end of the day, that you can clap for that. Amen. So it's an amazing perspective that we get to have when we look at God and go, man, He's worthy of trust. All right, so let's dig into a passage of scripture here. In Mark chapter 4, we're going to read. And this is a story about Jesus calming the storm. In Mark chapter 4. You guys there? Awesome. I'll just open my Bible and then we get it. Okay. All right, verse 35. It says, That day, when evening came, he said to His disciples, Let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Right? What an incredible short story there, right? It's Jesus, He's going through the storm. There's a couple of disciples in the boat. We don't know exactly who's in it, but they were following Jesus. And there's a storm that's about to happen. Now, do you guys think Jesus already knew that there was a storm that was going to happen? Absolutely. He was in control of the storm, right? So Jesus Himself, knowing the situation, but the disciples have no idea what was going to happen. I mean, they were just, you know, chilling, everything's good. And like, you can just imagine Jesus in the boat, knowing that he's about to teach them something that might change their lives, right? And He's just chilling. But if we really think about it, when you think about storms, you know, for us, there can be storms in our life, you know, and a couple of those things could be fear. You know, we could fear storms, you know, how we react to them. We could fear storms. You know, we could have worry about different storms in our life, whether that's financially, whether that's relationships, and, you know, all different things that we can have storms in our lives with. And I think in this passage, you know, Jesus does make a promise to us, and we see it in this passage. In John 16, verse 33, it says, In this world, you will have trouble. And I think that's actually a promise that God says that you will. It's not if the storms are going to happen, it's when are they going to happen. You know, like storms are definitely going to happen in our lives. But He says on the second part of the scripture, He says, But take heart, I have overcome the world. So What should we do about the storms in our lives? And that is, we need to know that the storms are coming. So preparation is so important. How did Jesus respond to this storm? What was he doing? He was sleeping, right? I mean, this part of what does the Bible even emphasize in that very verse of what he was sleeping on? A cushion. You ever wake up in the morning, you just laying your head on that pillow, and it's just like, man, I don't want to go to work. You're struggling. I mean, that's kind of how Jesus was feeling during the storm. You know, it's just like, he's laying his head on that cushion, just chilling. The disciples are freaking out, right? And Jesus is just sleeping. You know, and I think people who don't trust, they can't sleep at night. People who don't trust, it's like, they're afraid, they're fearful. You can't sleep. It's on your mind, whatever it is you're worried about, whatever the storm that you're going through. But then you look at Jesus, and he's just sleeping, calm, relaxed. There had to be a trust in God that he had that we would never understand. That we would try our whole lives to try to understand that we still don't understand. But Jesus sets such a great example that through the storms, we can still have peace and have rest. It is amazing. And you think about, amen, bro. And Jesus went through a lot of things in his life. I mean, he helped a demon possessed man. Just calmly, just walked up, got it out, got the demon out of him, and that was it. He went, you know, he was fine. Sometimes there's just things that Jesus did that the disciples were just like, what? What? How are you not freaking out? Because Jesus had this calmness to him. You know, and so I want to take this time to just share a story real quick. Just about a storm that happened in my life a couple years ago. Because there's a main point that I really want to make on this today. But a couple years ago, I was going to Bergen Community College. And I was on my phone. I was going to the printer to print out some papers for class. And I remember printing them out and just jetting out to class. And then when I got to class, I started tapping my pockets. And I realized, what do you think happened? My phone was not in my pocket, right? I didn't have my phone on me. I'm checking around. I'm just like, what's going on? And then what happened was I ended up leaving it in the library. So I ended up walking back, but I couldn't find it. Because by the time I found out I lost my phone, it was a good hour or hour and a half that, you know. So I couldn't. I went back to the library, asked the people that were working there. They said they hadn't seen the phone, nothing. And then I started struggling. If you really want to know if you trust God, find out how you react when you use your phone. That's a good indicator of like, okay, you know. And then I was just like, all right, I'm struggling right now. I'm going, you know, I was just having a bad mood, everything. You know how that is. And so, but in that moment, I was like, but hold up. God is good, right? God is good. He can bring good out of this situation. And so I was like, I got to read a passage. So I read Isaiah 30, verse 18. And it says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, we will rise up to show you compassion. He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. And so I read that passage and I was like, wait, God is a God of justice. Somebody probably stole my phone. And I was like, I'm going to figure this out. So now I went to the security, the public safety that I have on campus, and I went there and I asked one of the officers. And I was like, hey, man, I think I lost my phone. I remember what time it was, and I remember maybe where I have left it. And so he was like, all right. So then he pulled me into this room, and there's like 10 45-inch TVs just all across the walls. I'm like, whoa, this is what you guys do all day? Just watching people? But they're looking at all these TVs and... And so I told them where the location of my phone was at, and they went on the screen at that time where I was there, and it was actually, I saw my phone by the printers, just sitting there, right? And then I'm like, whoa, that's it, like, that's my phone. And then there's one person that comes up, and they're looking at it, but then they're just not, you know, getting their stuff, and they're walking away, and you know, and then there's one guy who comes up, and he looks at my phone, you know, messes with the computer, looks back at it, walks away. 2 minutes later, he comes back, sees the phone there again, and just pops it right in his pocket. I was like, no way, no way. Like, he's not, this is what God sees on a daily basis, you know. A lot of things were going through my head, but I saw the guy. I saw what he was wearing. I saw what he looked like and everything. And they were like, and so the public safety tried to figure out his information and all those different things, because actually when you go to a computer, you have to log in with your student ID. So obviously it links it up. But they still couldn't find this man, right? So they looked up the computers. They couldn't find anybody. They had a couple names, but they was like, that was not the guy, because they didn't match faces. And so I was like, all right, cool. And I literally told the public safety guy, I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray about it. And if I find him, I'll come back. But at first he was like, what you going to do when you find him? You know? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do anything crazy. I'm just going to come back to you. I'm going to keep myself confidential or whatever. So, cool. So then I went for 2 hours looking for this guy. 2 hours. And actually, right before I left, I went to go stop in the library one more time, just to see if he was going to be there. And I walked up, looked through the mirror, and guess who it was? He was standing right there. That guy, he had the same clothes on, he didn't change, everything. He was right there, and I literally couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. So then I go back downstairs, I run into the public safety, they come up, and, you know, I had to keep myself confidential, so they came inside, and they found him. And then they had to call the cops to come get him and everything. And so they ended up taking him to the police station. I had to go to the police station to get my phone. And then they walk out and they say, all right, he has your phone and everything. What is up to you what you want to do? You know, do you want to press charges? Do you want to do any of those things? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to press charges on him. You know, I'm not going to press charges on him. You can let him go. But I do want to invite him out to church. So here's the information. You can give it to him, whatever he does with it. You know, you can tell him my description. You can do a sketch, because he never saw me, so when he shows up at church. But I ended up giving him an opportunity to experience God's grace, but also got an opportunity to come to church, you know. And I got my phone back. Everything was good, and I had it for another 3 years until I upgraded. But why am I sharing this story? My question is, do you trust what God says in the Bible? Do you really trust in those situations, in those storms, that when God says he's a God of justice, that he's a God of justice? When he says that he's a God of love, he's a God of love. I think a lot of times, once a storm comes in your life, we write God off too quickly. Oh, this doesn't make sense. And we don't make it an opportunity to trust God and see what he can do. I was amazed. I tell you what, after that story, I couldn't believe how much my trust in God has grown. But it only happened when I decided, made a choice, even in my storm, to go and do something so God can prove his trust to me that he promised in the Bible. And so, guys, today I want to leave you with this. You know, I don't have a bunch of practicals or anything, because I think all of us have so many unique situations that we have to encounter. But today, make a decision today that whatever storm that you're in, you're going to decide to trust God. That you're going to decide that if the Bible says this, I'm just going to trust it and I'm going to do it. And I kid you not, you will see amazing things happen in your life. You will see God pull through in ways you never even imagined. So guys, let's leave today knowing that we have a God who's honest, who's trustworthy, who can get us through the storms, because he says he will, and we can trust him. Amen, guys. That's what I got for you. Thank you.